This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 27th, episode 4026. I don't know, you didn't put in a number there, and I can't guess. It's brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
Somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning, everybody. Haven't heard that opener in a long time. We're glad to have you join us here at Horses in the Morning on this Tuesday morning after the holiday. Normally, this is Safety Day with Lindsay White of Riders for Helmets, but she has off today. So Jamie and I are filling in for Lindsay. I know. Well, thank you for joining us, though, Jamie. We appreciate you filling in. And
We are going to do
some safety stuff later in the show, so it still will be a semi-safety day here on Horses in the Morning, and I'm sure Lindsay will be back here next month. Well, lots going on over the weekend, and I had a good time with my pony, driving my pony every day. It was the most he has worked four consecutive days in his life, and not happy about it by day four.
Really? Was he getting a little tired, a little sore?
You know, the problem I've got, too, Jamie, is I'm a softie, so I keep asking Jennifer, are you sure it's okay if we take him out again today? And she's like, you pamper that pony. Work his legs. He needs to get in shape.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I love it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just said I can't help it. I'm a softie.
You don't want to hurt him, but Daddy, you don't want to hurt him. No, my problem was my husband is back in town, thank God. And
by the way.
I know he's got the baby right now. Life is great. The problem is that yesterday he's like, okay, I'll watch the kid. You ride as many horses as you can. Excuse me. So I worked Penny on the ground, my foster. And then I rode Jet, and then I rode Edward. I am so freaking sore right now. I can barely lift my shoulder. Like, my arms won't lift. Edward was a little crazy. He hasn't been ridden in, like, a week and a half. And then Jet was lazy, and Penny was good. I'm so sore, I can barely sit here comfortably. I need some Advil right now.
It was fun, though, wasn't it?
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. We had a great weekend. You know what we did do this weekend? The movie this weekend, the X-Men movie that's out, hit almost $300 million in its opening weekend. Yes, and Jennifer and I had never watched any of the X-Men movies, and so we spent yesterday or the day before, we watched all five of the first X-Men movies. We did a marathon. We watched all five X-Men movies in 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm feeling a little superhuman today. After all,
no wonder you drove your pony 4 days in a row. Did you expect him to fly? He was like, why won't you
lift
off?
I did.
I could
shoot
him
right now. I wanted
to see
him fly, disappear, and reappear.
That's awesome. Wow. I would not be normal after watching four movies like that in a row. I would just, it's like playing a race car game. I get in the car and drive like a crazy person. Yeah, I can't do it.
I had a dream last night that I could read people's minds. So does that tell you something?
Is that what your superpower would be? Mind reading?
No, it was actually, it was mind reading and being able to move things with my mind, you know, being able to, you know, move things. I always wanted to do that. Everybody has this fantasy that they can look at the object in front of them and have it come to their hand.
That is like the ultimate lazy horse husband superpower.
I could just think about it and the harness would go on the pony by itself.
Yeah.
Perfect. Paul is now clean.
Two trips to tack with the harness pony. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Brush. Pick up brush, brush pony. And I could just sit there and watch. Be perfect.
That is the ultimate horse husbandry. Like you, equity, MFG, fork. Shaking fork. Go clean stall. That's awesome.
Now it's a little bit of your fantasy too, isn't it? Now you're thinking about it.
Well, I'm sad that you would be able to read my mind, because then you'd know what I was thinking about you when you were being a lazy butthead and not cleaning your stall.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Tuesday edition, we start out with the usual review of our co-host's mostly unusual weekend adventures, and then following close on the heels of some equine-esque headlines, Courtney King Dye and Kenny O'Donnell stopped by for a chat, courtesy of Reese and Phillip from the Dressage Radio Show. And rounding out our late-to-the-party start for the week, the wacky world of Horse Station takes us on the laugh track. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. As it is safety day, I thought I would give my daily whinny out to wagon driver Tom Short and his family. They were participating in the John Wayne Pioneer Trail Pilgrimage, which began yesterday, I believe. And they make their annual trek that goes for miles. I think it's hundreds of miles. They actually go over a couple of weeks. They're driving every day down this what's called the John Wayne Pioneer Trail. And it's one of those rails-to-trails, Jamie, that they, you know, converted the rail way into a riding spot and a for bicycles and horses and stuff. Well, it's a long one. It's a really, really long one. And every year, these riders and these wagon drivers get together, carriage drivers get together, and they do this weeks at a time, camping every night, do about 23 miles a day. And it's to raise money to keep the trail in good shape and everything. And they have, this year they had about a half a dozen wagons and about 100 outriders participating in the event. But the thing I noticed was, you know, when you see these wagon drivers, it's usually the old guys like me with gray beards and, you know, they're wearing big cowboy hats and everything, and they're looking kind of rustic. Well, if you look at the picture, what do you notice about wagon driver Tom Short and his family in that car, in that carriage? What do you notice?
He's got a gray beard. He's wearing a helmet. Oh, they're all wearing helmets.
They're all wearing helmets. So congratulations to Tom and his family for wearing helmets on this. You don't always see that with the wagon and carriage drivers. But good for him, huh? Driving a beautiful pair of paint horses.
Yeah, they're very pretty.
Congratulations, and thank you, Tom, for being safe. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's, you know, the Belmont Stakes just can't get here fast enough. I'm so excited, and I'm poring over every moment of California Chrome's day, much like the rest of the horse world. And sadly, this happened after the show on Friday, and I know it's several days late, but I just had to post it because I finally watched it. I saw the still shots, but Glenn, have you actually seen the video of the possum on the track with California Chrome?
No, I didn't see the video. I saw the pictures.
I just posted it on Facebook. This is awesome, and I'll tell you why. As California Chrome is galloping along, and this, now what's the difference between a possum and an opossum? Is the O silent? Like, how does that work?
I don't know. I posted the picture the other day, and I put on there, Reef has skunks and Chrome has rodents. And I got flamed by a couple people for calling the opossum a rodent. I'm sorry, it looks like a rat. So
they're giant rats. And so if you watch the video, the horse that is galloping in front of California Chrome sees the possum, freaks out, and almost unseats its rider. And California Chrome just gallops on by. Like, even the horse is in front of him that spooks and almost dumps the rider, and he still doesn't freak out about the possum. He doesn't freak out about the horse freaking out. He's just, like, such a businessman. He's like, work, work, work. And I just think it's 30 seconds, and it's worth your time. Did you notice that, Glenn?
I'm just watching it now. Yes, he does. He just goes right by. He's like,
no big deal. So, like, every day there's a possum spooking horses galloping on a racetrack. It was awesome. So if you haven't seen it yet, the video is worth watching, and that's on our Facebook page. And let's see, how many more sleeps until 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Like 11 more sleeps until the Belmont. I'm so excited.
By the way, I'm never saying anything bad about possums again, because a couple of people were pretty upset that posted on our page about that.
Are you serious?
Apparently are some possum lovers out there. He was one ugly little critter. I'm sorry, and he looks sick.
I have an investigative point to make.
Oh, okay.
Have either of you watched this video on full screen?
No, I just watched it in this
on full screen. And about halfway through it, keep an eye on the top left quadrant of the screen, and you will see a bird fly down and very nearly take the helmet off of the jockey whose horse is spooking.
Oh, it might not have been the possum at all.
He got the pigeon and the possum, the two rodents of the animal world.
He did kind of get dive bomb there, didn't he? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did.
But I think he was looking before.
Yep, you're right. The horse was looking one way, yet the rider looked the other way at the pigeons. It's
like, the pigeon's like, take him out! Yeah!
What's that song? Good ride, cowboy, good ride. That Garth Brooks song? That's a good ride right there. You got a possum and a bird and the California chrome running right by you. Here you go. Just going to, like, stick it. That's awesome. Velcro book.
I highly advise not running in the Belmont for that particular horse. He's jinxed.
Yes, definitely. Stay away from that one.
Hey, do you know we've had Monet Mary on the show a couple times, speaking of Kentucky Derby winners and Triple Crown race winners. We've had Monet Mary, and people who listen to the show a lot will know what we're talking about. Monet Mary is the one that goes out to famous race horses, sticks a paintbrush in their mouth, and has them paint portraits, or not portraits, has them paint paintings, and then sells them, and usually for charity. Well, an auction is coming up of paintings created by 9 winners of Triple Crown races that will be held June 2nd through the 9th. And the artists include Animal Kingdom, Funny Side, Giacomo, Mind That Bird, Orb, Shackleford, Street Scent, Super Saver, and Union Rags. There's a pile of superstars right there.
Wow.
And she had them all paint. These paintings are going to be for sale June 2nd through the 9th, and they are to benefit Rerun, Off the Track Thoroughbred organization that rehomes Off the Track Thoroughbreds. And, you know, it's for a great cause, and they're a lot of fun. If I had the money, Jamie, I would own a couple of these. They're really cool. After they paint their colorful paintings on the canvas, then she takes and they do a hoof. They sign it by doing an inked hoof print right in the middle of the painting usually. And then I also noticed that she's taking a little hair off their manes, and they're attaching that to the paintings too. That's really cool. I really like this idea. And you can actually buy them. They'll be coming up, as I said, June 2nd through the 9th. You can find out more at rerunottb.com. Rerunottb.com.
So, do they have the pictures listed right now on rerunottb.com?
No, they do not yet, because I think they've not posted that yet, but it will be coming up. And we'll remind you all as we're getting closer to June the 2nd also. We'll probably have Monet Mary back on. Jennifer, make a note to get her back on. She's a good guest.
I always get outbid on stuff like this. I just, you know, I try and try and try. I did end up buying the Zenyatta note cards because they had Zenyatta Monet note cards, and I still have them because I haven't found anybody worthy enough to send one to.
I noticed I never got one in the mail, so I
No, you did not. Sorry.
Hey, she did say that Giacomo was the most shy, Super Saver has the most zen, and Shackelford was the most playful, which means they probably couldn't keep the paintbrush in his mouth. That's probably what that means. but they are really cool. I know you've looked at them before, and I would definitely own a wall full of them if I could afford it. I think they're just neat. I think mind that bird that's going to go high. I really do, just because of the story.
You know, I want to see these. Are you looking at these? You said
no,
that they were really good.
You can go to their Facebook page. Monet's for Rerun is the Facebook page, and you'll see some of the ones there. They might be some of these. I didn't look. I didn't cross-reference, but Monet's for Rerun, they do have pictures of the ones that they have done in the past. I really like, there's a horse called Somali Lemonade who apparently won at Pimlico, one of the stakes races, and most of his painting was done in lemon yellow. So I really like that one. I would probably buy that one. I just like that one.
Oh,
but yeah,
I love these. Okay.
Yeah, Hungry Island did a cool one. And they are just cool. It's just paint splattered on canvas. But let me tell you, how many artists made a fortune just taking paint splattering on canvas?
No, Zenyatta. She's the only one. These are really good. You take them just by themselves. They're so beautiful. So, yeah, we will keep you guys posted on when all of this is going to come into action. Now, Glenn, I found a list. And I found it off, I believe, Utah's, our listener's Facebook page. And it is a list of horsey.
By the way, can I just say that we want to thank Uta for supplying us about half our material on the show every day.
Right. Thank God she's on Facebook all the time. Bless
I know.
Her heart. I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's the Equestrian Survival Guide. And I won't go over all 25, but it's almost like a list of rules, Murphy's Law, just a general all-encompassing list of horse stuff and stuff that you should live by. And this first one is so true. I will wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh, my God. The number one, if you're wondering if you latched the gate, you did not. You did. I have a horse. Edward will open anything. We had to weld chains onto each one of the stalls because he would let himself out and then go let other horses out. So we had to weld chains on every one of the stalls. Chad, bless his heart. If you're wondering if you latched the gate, you didn't. Have you ever had one of those like panics, like, oh my God, did I close it?
Yeah, every day. Every day. You know me, I'm ADD. By the time I get to the gate, I forget that I was even supposed to latch it. So.
The next one is, after you wash your horse, you bathe your horse, it will roll every single time. No question about it.
Well, everybody in the world now knows that my pony loves to roll. Scooter is a roller, in the water, out of the water, whatever. So as soon as you wash him, what we have taken to doing now is the poor little guy, you can't get him our aisleway around the barn because we have a Florida barn, so it's open around the outside and it's all sand. I can't get him out of that aisleway before he's down rolling. We can't cross tie him anymore because he will roll in the cross ties and try and hang himself. So we can't cross tie him anymore. So now when after you bathe him, you have to hold his head straight up in the air and walk him out to the middle of the field where it's grass and then let him loose because if he's anywhere near sand, that's it. He's down immediately.
Yeah, he's not going to a show. Let him roll in the sand. He cares.
That's right.
If you think your horse is lame, it probably is. I just I was riding Jennifer. You know what I'm talking about? Like, is he lame? Taking a funny step? Is he lame? Yes, he is. If you think he's lame, he's lame.
He is. Yeah, pretty much.
The most useful piece of equipment on your entire farm is what? Baling twine.
Yes, and duct tape.
Yeah. Yep. Well, baling twine right now, because my husband left, everything broke like 5 minutes after he left from Alaska. Bless his heart, he's got such a long list of stuff. And the horses, I have these stalls that are screwed together. There's panels. And one of them, I can't even remember which one it was. Doesn't matter. All of them did stupid stuff. Busted out of the stall. And the screws stripped out. And the thing was, and Joey, and he ended up getting out. So I have taken baling twine and tied the stall together, and it looks so unbelievably ghetto, but I don't care. It works. It works because it's baling twine.
You know, right. I was thinking about it over the weekend, you know, because I knew you had a long list waiting for him. And as a horse husband, if you didn't have a child that he loved so much, I'm not sure he'd have come home this time.
Good God. He got home and I was like, you missed him, didn't you? And he's like, I did. I really missed him. And I'm like, I missed you too. I missed you too. I missed you too.
See, I was right, wasn't I?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's why I did it. That's why I swear, just to keep him around, okay? Now we've got a kid. He has to. He's stuck.
That's right.
When you go within 100 feet of the barn, expect to instantly become dirty.
Yeah.
There's women that can wear, you know who they are. Every once in a while, you'll meet a woman who can wear a white shirt to a barn and not get dirty. How do they do that? Jennifer, are you that person?
No. Answer for her.
Let me answer for my wife.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I might have set the long-distance record for dirt jumping out of the barn onto my body.
Yeah. It's amazing. It is amazing. One rule is you will not complain when you are told to drop your stirrups, because having no stirrups is your best friend, but it is also your worst enemy until you can master riding with no stirrups. Glenn, I know you've never ridden with no stirrups, because why would you? But Jennifer and I guarantee you, have done hours in the tack with no stirrups. And at the blessed age that I am right now, I was teaching a lesson last week with a bunch of girls, and I made them drop their stirrups. And I'm like, that's it. I'll drop mine, too. Wow, it gets a lot harder when you are creeping up on certain numbers of age. Good God. I'm like, this is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy. If somebody says to you, if you're not riding and they're jumping, and you come up and go, how'd I do? And they say, that was okay. It does not mean it was okay. It means it was terrible. They were just being nice.
Yeah. Okay is a bad response.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like having a good personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jennifer, if you lean forward at a fence, what's going to happen?
The horse is going to stop.
Yeah, you're going to fall right smack on your face. I tell my kids, I'm like, if you look down, you will be down. Do not lean forward right in front of a jump.
You're going to stop and dump you on your nose.
This is something I don't do because I think I had it done to me by my German dressage instructor when I was a child, is a crop between the elbows in the back. Did you ever have that, Jennifer? Yeah.
I spent many an hour with a crop between my elbows. Yeah.
And then no stirrups at the same time. Oh, my God. It's amazing we made it. We're still alive.
And that is like my favorite punishment. My personal favorite is baler twine on the stirrup irons. Tie the stirrup irons to the girth. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, another thing that I've had done is somebody's taken rubber bands and put them around my wrists so my hands would stay together when riding.
Oh, that's
cool. Yeah, because at least the rubber band will snap. And I'm not telling you who did that. It might have been me to other people. But it's true. But, what are you going to do? I've had it done to me. Number 15 is the horse is not just sometimes right. The horse is always right. Always right. Especially if you have a horse like Duke. Bless his heart. If he's doing something, it's because you're telling him to. And if he's not doing it right, it's because you're asking him wrong. He is always right. Every single time. No question.
That's where you guys get it from. That's where horse wives get it from. So you get that in your head, and then you think that you're right all the time in marriage, too. See, you're just translating that to yourselves. In marriage.
So I think it's the horses are right, and we've got to be right sometimes, so we're right the rest of the time, Glenn. There you go.
Okay.
Do you think the horse goes out to the pasture after you've ridden and talks to his friends about all the stuff you got wrong, you know, and brags to his buddies? Did you see what she did today? We were trying to do left lead canter, and she couldn't get her outside leg where it was supposed to be, and led forward all the time, and I kept getting the wrong lead. Do you think they do that? You know, sit around
I
drinking.
Think, I think about that all the time. You know, it's like when the, like I have certain students that come and ride certain horses on certain days of the week, and I wonder if they're like, oh, it's Tuesday. God. You know? Oh, geez. Or, oh, it's Wednesday. I get a day off today. This is great. I don't know. Another thing is that there is a difference between having fun and being stupid. Yeah. And sometimes that's a, for some people in their brain, that's a very fine line. It is not a fine line. It is a big line. And either you're having fun or you're being stupid. So don't be stupid. I had one student who came out here while I was pregnant. And I, you know, she decided to lease the horse for this a month because I was pregnant, wasn't teaching. And she and her mother, they came out here and decided to see how high she could jump and videotape the whole thing. And, of course, she looks down, and she is down. And then I see the video online. Well, let me just tell you, she don't ride here anymore. But, I mean, how dumb do you have to be? It's not fun. That's stupid. Good Lord. I'm still mad about that, obviously. Thank God the horse is okay.
You know that show they have Dumbest Thing on Wheels? They need to have one Dumbest Thing on Horseback. That could be a great series because there is so much ammo there.
We could just go to YouTube and get most of them. I mean, we wouldn't even have to do any work.
Jennifer, do you ever thank God that when you were a child there wasn't YouTube?
I know.
Or
yeah, for many reasons.
Oh, my gosh.
For many reasons. or picture phones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank God there wasn't. I mean, it would have been nice at some points, but yeah, we'd have a million hits on YouTube. Never, ever, ever in any aspect of any career ever do you ever make fun of anybody wearing a hairnet.
Oh my gosh.
We understand. I was at the grocery store on Saturday, and there was a guy that had a beard like those guys on that show, you know, with the giant long beard. It's so popular now, and he was wearing a beard net. He worked in the meat department, and he had a beard net on. I so should have taken a picture. That would have been awesome. Beard net. Never make fun of anybody in a hair net, because we've all been there walking around with a hair net, and sometimes we don't remember that we have a hair net on, so disaster.
Before you go on, you did take a picture over the weekend of the grumpiest woman I've seen in a long time. What was that all about?
Oh, my gosh. You have to see the first thing I posted. For some reason, the second thing I posted came up. I was at the grocery store. My husband has returned, and he was holding Lucas, and Lucas is smiling. So I just decided to snap a picture of them, and I didn't realize that I was being photobombed with some chick in the grocery store line as well. And if you zoom in on her face, it's hilarious. She is so mad. She just looks really grumpy. And so maybe we'll post those on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. But, yeah, that is the – did she not look so angry?
Yes. Was the first picture of Lucas covered in chocolate or whatever it was?
No, it's right before that. It's called the photo. This is a good photo bomb. Is that the one that's coming in front of it? No.
Yeah, I see the picture of the grumpy lady. Yes, I do, over his shoulder.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Yes, yeah. And then I zoomed in on her.
So, yeah, she was. Anyway. She was not liking your child being there having a good time.
No, I was snapping pictures. And when you zoom in on her face, you realize she's staring into my soul.
She is, too. She is, too. You are that mom.
I would kill you taking pictures in the grocery store. Ridiculous. Yeah. I love the fact that my husband flies home from Alaska. I go to the base. I pick them up. It's like, you know, they get off the tanker. They get all these F-16s parked. And I'm like, yay, you're home. Let's go to the grocery store. I'm out. Let's go. So he went to the grocery store in his uniform. He hates doing that. It was pretty funny. And then finally, treats will make a horse follow you, but time will make a horse love you. That's sort of true. I think that treats make a horse love us. It maybe makes us follow us and then makes them love us, I think. Oh, another one is clean your horse's bit. Always clean your horse's bit. Always. Just clean it. Just every time you get done, clean your bit. Those are my fun facts, equestrian survival guide. Thanks to Utah for posting that. And we got some miles out of it, at least.
There you go. Well, yesterday was Memorial Day, and there were two horses that were saluted for exemplary service to the U.S. military, and they'll be in the Horse Stars Hall of Fame. And one of them we know very well was Sergeant Reckless. And we've had them on, and we've talked about Sergeant Reckless many times. But there was another horse that we don't know, and that horse's name was Clinger, and that horse is still alive, actually. And he is, he works for Arlington National Cemetery, and he is part of the caisson unit. And he has participated in over 5,000 funerals now. He also works for an organization called the Children of Taps, and they help, they actually help children, you know, overcome the loss of parents in the military. And he works with them, and the kids get to ride him and, you know, have a good time getting to meet a horse. He's a Morgan Percheron, very large, over 17 hands, weighs about a ton, very large horse. And he is the one that you see when you see the caisson unit. He is the one that usually the rider is on in the front corner. They usually have one that a rider is riding and then also pulling the casket. So, yeah, so he was honored for his service, and he apparently wears his Taps cooler at special events and still goes out. He'll be at the Washington International Horse Show, and he was leading at the presidential inauguration parade last time. So very popular horse, and has been around presidents and done a lot of funerals, and is well-deserved. He served his soldiers well, so... I thought that was great for Memorial Day that they were honoring this particular horse, and maybe we'll get somebody on who knows him. I know we had the guy on from the caisson unit the one time. I know that they switch out all the time, so we'll have to find somebody else and come on and talk about Clinger.
Judith from Police Works is the one to talk to you about that. She donates so much Police Works stuff to the caisson unit. She's such a great person, and so she's actually works pretty close with those guys.
All right, well, we'll work on getting somebody on to tell us more about Clinger. I just thought I'd bring that up because it was Memorial Day yesterday.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And we're going to take a break for our commercial. Omega Alpha is a sponsor for today. We really appreciate them. And then right after that, we have coming up from the Dressage Radio Show a recording that they did, Seeing It Safety Day here on Horses in the Morning. Reese and Phillip interviewed Kemi O'Donnell, who lost a child because of an inadequate helmet, and Courtney King Dye, which all of you are going to recognize that name. Of course, Courtney King Dye was the dressage rider that had a fall many years ago and has been in recovery ever since. She's doing well. She had a baby. So you're going to hear a little bit about her baby girl and what she says about her baby girl, and it's going to sound very familiar to what Jamie says about her baby boy. So now the one thing with Courtney is obviously she sustained a head injury and her speech is a little impaired. So you have to listen closely when Courtney speaks. But after about two or three sentences, you're going to start to get it better. So hang in there with it, and Courtney's worth listening to. And she's doing some good work right now, so she talks about that. And she also has an autobiography coming out. So all of that, thanks to Reese and Phillip over at the Dressage Radio Show. Right after this word from Omega Alpha.
As an equine athlete's career progresses, his or her joint surfaces may lose lubrication, compromising mobility. Without long-term positive support, this can lead to issues with recovery, endurance, and overall performance. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed four different formulations for equine athletes like yours. Anti-Flam to support sound feet and joints. GLS-PWD glucosamine joint formula in a powdered form. HA-180 oral hyaluronic acid formula containing 180 milligrams per ounce of hyaluronic acid. And Sinuex, formulated to support muscles, joints, and ligaments. You can find Omega Alpha Equine products at your local tack and feed store or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, it is truly my pleasure this evening to have Kemi O'Donnell and Courtney King Dye on the program. Courtney actually contacted me last week to see if I could help a little bit with our House of Representative member, Andy Barr, with the Christine O'Donnell Equestrian Helmet Safety Act of 2013. And I said to Courtney, I said, I would love to have you and Kemi come on the radio show to talk to us a little bit about the bill and how our listeners can help. So, Kemi, do you mind to get us started to tell us a little bit about the bill and how it got started and just get us started?
Okay, perfect. Yeah, back in 1998, my 12-year-old daughter, Kristen, was riding in a lesson and wearing the traditional velvet hung cap. And the horse spooked, and she had a really simple fall, but immediately was unconscious and went into a coma and unfortunately died the next day. About a year after that, one of the managers of the farm where she was riding contacted me and had found out that in Australia, New Zealand, and the Eastern European Coalition, that they had a regulation already in place in those countries that stopped the sale and production of unapproved equestrian helmets. And he thought that it might be something that I might be able to do or start to do here in the United States. So I contacted through friends Senator Todd. I'm from Connecticut, and he was our senator at the time. And he gladly took on into writing a piece of legislation. And it took me about a year or so to find Senator Chafee, who agreed to co-sponsor it with him. And in 2002, the Christine O'Donnell Equestrian Helmet Act was introduced before the Senate. It was turned down and has been introduced four times in total through to the Senate, and all four times was turned down for no specific reason that anybody could ever give me or his office. After that, I was blessed with being introduced to Riders for Helmet and got to know Courtney and Lindsay Boyd, who started it, to help Courtney with her medical care expenses. And I went and spoke many times trying to find anybody who could help connect me with another congressman or senator to reintroduce the bill. And thankfully, about a year ago, Congressman Hines' office from Connecticut, I was contacted by them, and he agreed, he has a daughter who rides, who's 11, to reintroduce it. And it was just reintroduced about 2 weeks ago, and I am desperately trying to seek other congressmen to co-sponsor this piece of legislation. So the more the merrier, as they say. And Courtney and Reese were wonderful about helping me try to get on board the Kentucky congressman. And as I said, we have three Democratic congressmen and women who are sponsoring at this time, but we do not have any Republican support. So if anybody who is listening has any contact with any congressman or woman, was a Republican or Democrat, I would greatly, greatly appreciate your help. The purpose of the bill, just so everyone understands, is it's to stop the sale and production of unapproved equestrian helmets. The velvet hung cap, I didn't realize at the time that Kristen was riding, was actually a hat, a piece of apparel, and not a helmet in any way. If she'd been wearing a approved helmet, I know she would be alive today. And because the hung cap looks so much like a helmet, it's sold, marketed, everywhere you see it has a chin strap. No one really knew itself that it was just a hat that offered no protection. I always say it's a consumer protection issue, not a regulation, meaning that no other industry out there, my niece was telling me the other day, you know, you can't go buy a life vest that's not a life vest that won't let you float. And I always say you can't wear, a helmet on a bike or a motorcycle or a car seat, you know, that's sold and looks just like one but actually does nothing. So, I hope everybody does wear a helmet, an approved helmet, but that is not what this bill is about. It's just basically not allowing something that looks exactly like a helmet falls in the wrong hands many, many times. And many people have died and suffered TBIs because of it, not to be allowed to be sold or produced in our country. And yeah, that is where I am. And, Courtney's here on the radio, too, and she's been helping me immensely. So I pass this on to her.
Well, that's what I think is such a great thing about this bill, and what I thought of my letters to the congressmen and senators where I work is that is I still think you will meet with anybody going against it, because it's not insisting people do wear helmets, just ensuring that if we choose to wear a helmet, that what they get offers protection. And that's really why, I mean, this bill is so important to me, because, of course, my accident, I've done as much as I can to get people to wear helmets, to not make the mistake I made. But in Kemi's instance, she didn't make a mistake. She was just misled by the salespeople. She thought she was helping to protect her daughter by buying a helmet. And her daughter didn't need to die if she just, she didn't choose to not protect her. If she just knew what she was buying, then her daughter wouldn't have had to die.
So Kemi, can you tell us a little bit the difference between an ASTM helmet? Just kind of let our listeners know what that means, and what they should be looking for when they purchase a helmet.
The ASTM, actually, it's a safety, they safety tested, and anything that is ASTM SEI approved has gone through strict testing for all kind of impact and falls. And if you put that on your head, nothing can prevent you from all accidents. But there is like the G-force that your head will, when it hits the ground or hits something else, will be in contact with, is dramatically reduced with any approved helmet. The velvet hung cap, as I said, has no protection. There's no foam. There's no material in the lining of that hung cap that does anything to reduce the G-forces of the impact. And because of it, as I said, it's basically there's no difference between wearing nothing unless your head hits a branch, basically, with a velvet hung cap. So if you're going to purchase a helmet, please make sure that you look and make sure it's ASTM, SEI approved. The hung cap or any unapproved helmet, it'll be on the shelves a lot of times right next to the other ones, and unless you turn it over, and there's an orange sticker on the inside, and it says in bold letters, do not remove this, but it does not say, like, this is not a helmet, which bothers me immensely because I wish it had, a huge warning across it, like, this has no protection. But in the fine print, you'll read the manufacturers who still produce them have always placed that in there, sort of hidden underneath, for liability issues, that, this is a piece of apparel. And as I said, if it's a piece of apparel, to this day, I cannot understand why for the last, 100 years it's been sold as a helmet in this country. So just make sure that it is approved, and there will always be a stamp on it or, if it is approved. If it doesn't have that, do not purchase that.
And just so our listeners know, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be an expensive helmet. I think that's really important to know.
Yeah, and even the hung caps, there's a couple of manufacturers that still have some out there, and they are probably, in the old days, they used to be a lot less expensive, and I always felt that was probably the biggest issue I had with it, because when someone starts a sport, I have 5 children, a lot of times I'm like, okay, let's go get something really basic because, I'm not sure you can stick with the sports. I don't want to spend $250 on something. And the hung cap used to be like $89 and the approved helmets were $200 and up. So now, they were selling these hats at $175, which were more expensive than some of the approved helmets. So, there's all ranges of approved helmets and price-wise. I'm not sure about the difference between them. You should really look into that and contact the manufacturer if you are purchasing an equestrian helmet and really ask them, what's between these price differences? Am I actually getting more protection, or is it actually just the look of the helmet that I'm paying up for? Because as a consumer, you really, really need to be informed about what you're really purchasing.
Yeah, and I'm not sure 100% on this, so please don't quote me. But I think as long as the helmet has an AFPM approval, that you are getting the same amount of protection no matter what the price of the helmet. That is my understanding of that from the meetings that I've been to. So I'm not sure about that, but as long as it has some sort of approval through ASTM or FEI, those are actually the helmets. And Courtney, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that I think you have to ride, if you're riding in a recognized competition, it has to be an approved helmet. You can no longer have a piece of apparel on. You have to actually have a helmet with a chin strap. So
yeah, I mean, up here I've had stewards check helmets, you know, ask you to dismount and make sure that it's an approved one. And then I think now the stewards kind of recognize the different brands that are out there, I think. And yeah, if you're riding in a show, that's for sure. It has to be approved.
So absolutely.
That's a good thing that the equestrian sport is bringing in the regulations on their own, but I think also you have to go right back to the government. I mean, I don't understand a lot about American politics, but I can't figure out why this would not get approval through the government to just do away with those helmets that don't offer any head protection. So hopefully this will go through, or you can gain some support and get that done.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Kemi, can you tell us, actually, now that leads me into this question of how can our listeners help you support this through Philip being Canadian can't help us really, but how can our American listeners help sort of get this bill up on the floor of the House?
There's a number of things that anyone could do if they're willing to for me. One is if you happen to know any congressman or senator, if you would personally reach out to them, I will give the email at the end of this, and I can send you a copy of the bill. It's H.R. 4225, I think, or 552. Sorry, I'm in the car. And if you go on the Kristen O'Donnell Equestrian Helmet Act, and it's C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N, there is a Facebook page, or if you want to Google it, there's tons of articles that have come out recently about it, and you can really be informed about it. And if you contact anybody and just say, you know, this is a woman I know or a friend of a friend, and would you, you know, please see if the senator or congressman would actually look at the bill, or they can contact Congressman Himes' office in Connecticut. I can give you that information as well. He's the one who's sponsoring it. They will send anything along and answer any questions. And as I will myself, please, anyone feel free to email me at odgirls, G-I-R-L-S. At optonline.net. I don't think there's anything I can't answer about this. I've been doing this for 14 years, trying over and over again, telling the same story. And so hopefully, as I said, this time it will get passed. And if you don't have time to do any of that, it just like her Facebook page. Hopefully when they after it's introduced, they could at least say, you know, I've gotten 2,000 more likes in the last few weeks since it's been introduced. I feel like anything that we can do to promote support for it would help the cause. So thank you, anybody who could do any of that for me.
And Courtney,
maybe just want to repeat the email address since they can't rewind.
Yeah, absolutely. Kemi, can you repeat slowly your email address? We will also, for all our listeners, we'll have it up on our show note page, and we can put it up on our Facebook page as well, the Dressage Radio Show Facebook page. So, Kemi, can you tell your email address again for our listeners?
Yeah, so sorry. Okay, it's odgirlstonline.net.
Super. And the House bill, it's if you just look up online, H.R.4552. That's how I looked it up. You can pull it up. You can read the bill. And again, you can very easily, you know, everybody, every House member and congressman and senator have email, and you can call, and it's actually a very easy process, and they're really there to help you in any way that you can. So, and I'm sure with Courtney and Kemi, they will both help in any way that they can to sort of get some traction to this. So, Kemi, thank you so much for your time. Courtney, we have some exciting news, so we're going to keep you on the line. But Kemi, thank you so much for your time, and we will cross our fingers and toes that we can get some traction to this bill.
Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Well, Courtney, thank you so much for staying on the line, and it's so cool that you are helping Kemi with your status and being an Olympian to help her sort of get this bill some traction. So I commend you for that, and I thank you for emailing me. So I hope that I can help as well. But you have some wonderful news in the form of a baby girl. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you so much. She's just a
legit fun
job profession.
Oh, that is awesome. I know. I mean, I'm not a mom, but I mean, just to hear how excited you are and your voice is really amazing.
Yeah, I've always wanted to have several kids, but having her almost made me not want to have more because no one could possibly be as perfect as she is.
Oh, her picture is just wonderful.
I think that's why my mom had two kids, because I was not perfect. So.
You were not perfect.
But that's okay.
We're not going to say anything about
that. Yeah,
my mom had three, so I'm the middle, so what can
You're
I say?
Middle, yeah.
So, Courtney, tell us, you have a very exciting announcement in your autobiography is coming out, correct?
Yeah, I just wrote another baby, and I'm so, it's dedicated to all those over the years, so all of my money downs and my ups, the public has been there both financially and emotionally, supporting me so much. And so this, at least for the people or interested in my story, is a way to just give back a bit. And I'm so excited about that they helped me to make it, because throughout the whole thing, I have journal entries. They made keeping our journal through my early days, through the both Olympics, the Olympics, the World Cup, my effort at the Paralympics. They supported me by keeping journals. That's how I did fundraisers. So because of that, I'm able to put in personal, like in the moment, feelings and everything throughout it, and so many details. So, it's fun, and it's fun finishing at the perfect time so I can put all my focus into my legit bundle first question.
Oh, I think that's such a wonderful thing that you've done. I mean, I think, so what was it like to write a book? I've never written a book. What was that like?
It's hard.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was so fun for me because, like, there are many days when, of course, I can't do much, and my husband is away at work all day, so all I can do is sit around. And if I didn't have that to work on, I'd just be twiddling my thumbs. So give me something that I could feel protective and dedicate myself to through all these years. I started it, and the later that year in 2010. So I have spent years doing that, and it's just provided me with something I can focus on. So that's been really, really good for me.
Well, now you have a baby girl. I mean, my goodness, now you have stuff to really take care of during the day. How is that going, being a new mom?
Oh my gosh. It's another thing that makes me appreciate certain aspects of my injury. Like, if I were in my full-time career, I would ever, even breastfeeding would have been checking my emails or returning phone calls. I just wouldn't have gotten to appreciate all this time with her. I can sit and spend all day with her. Like, I just appreciate it so much, and I can't tell you how happy she makes me. You can hear it in the background, can you?
No, I know. She's so cute. That's awesome. So, Courtney, how do we get a hold of your book? This is so exciting. I can't wait for you to tell us, you know, how we can find it and what are the processes?
Well, it's not out yet, but I'm going to have a link on my website, Courtney King, CKDDressage.com, on a link to Amazon to buy it. It will be sold in Amazon. And the name of it is Courtney's Quest. It will eventually also have its own website. But, yeah, you can just go to my website or Amazon if you're interested.
Ah, super. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for your time. And River, we've heard a little cooing in the background. I love it. But thank you for your time. And thank you so much for working on this, Bill. And again, people can go to your website to find out information about the book. And can they also, is there information on your website about the bill as well?
There is. They have to go on my personal updates. And I'm trying to figure out where to make user, but in my blog section is there from about a week ago.
Super. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for your time and all that you're doing for equestrian safety and riders wearing helmets. It's really incredible what you're doing, and we wish you all the best, and we love those pictures of River. Keep them coming.
I love you. Thanks, Reese.
Well, that was thanks to Reese and Phillip of the Dressage Radio Show interview with Kimmy O'Donnell and, of course, Courtney King Dye, and it's good to see her. So happy being a mama. She's absolutely loving that. Well, next we are going to bring you a song that was written by Templeton Thompson. And, you know, I didn't know Tempe was coming out with a new song for California Chrome. Just saw it pop up yesterday, but I absolutely loved it. Leave it to Tempe to be topical. It's called
Bring
It On.
And what a title.
I know. Bring it on home, Chrome.
Chrome.
Let's take a listen to it and see how Tempe did with it.
Bring it on home, Chrome.
Oh, I love that. Did you hear the part in there about the dumbass partner?
Yes.
That's so cool. Bring it on home, Chrome. That's Templeton Thompson, and you can find her, find that song at templetonthompson.com. Am I correct there?
Yeah, and you can buy it there, 99 cents.
99 cents. Perfect. Well, it is. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. And now it's time for this.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Well, maybe you thought you were going to get the day off, Leslie Wiley, on Monday, but no, we just sucked you right back into a Tuesday. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm feeling super refreshed after a nice long weekend.
Did you do anything? Did you compete? What did you ride? What happened?
I did. Of course, no. I went to the lake and no, of course not. I went to a horse show.
Went to a horse show. So you're not feeling relaxed. Refreshed. Where'd you go?
To May Day's horse trials at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Oh my God! You spent Memorial Day at the Kentucky Horse Park. There's just nothing better.
I know, typical horse person.
How's your husband holding up to all this? Does he go with you or does he stay home?
he stayed home. he stayed home and sat on the porch and drank beer like normal people. Girls out.
Awesome. That's awesome. So, well, being that it was Memorial Day, you guys did a post for Horses of War, and some of the most incredible pictures and videos and photos and drawings that you could imagine all put together on one post. It was so great.
Yeah. Amanda Ronan wrote this for us, and it was it's fascinating. I mean, so we know that, you know, horses have obviously played a big role in warfare from way back, you know, from throughout the ages. And then they sort of had this transitional role in the last century and you know, obviously, like, I had no idea that millions of horses have gone to war, just like in this century alone. And their role has sort of changed they've sort of became more like pack animals over, you know, in the World War One, World War Two, than, you know, we weren't actually out there fighting on them. So I was reading the statistics. In about World War II, the German army used 2.75 million horses. The Soviet Union used 3.5 million horses. And most of the horses either died on the battlefield or were abandoned after the war. It's really sad that these were, you know, these are sort of the silent, tireless, just but forgotten war heroes. When Memorial Day rolls around or Veterans Day rolls around, Horse Nation likes to, you know, remind everyone that, you know, these horses are definitely worth honoring too.
Oh my gosh. Well, when you think of, you see the movie War Horse, or you think of where they got these 3.5 and 2.5 million horses, it was from people like, imagine us going to war right now, okay? As horse owners, people would come to your farm and take your horse. They would just take your animals. So there was no volunteer. I mean, can you imagine having all your ponies in the backyard, your event horse, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we're taking it to war. Bye."
Yeah.
and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's where these horses came from. They're people's pets, you know, or people's livelihood back then too. So just heartbreaking. And thank you for always honoring the horse veterans, the equine veterans, every single time that we do have a Memorial Day or a Veterans Day, because they wouldn't have been able to do it without horses. And in the history of war and the history of the country and the world, that's how this country was built, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you for honoring that anyway.
Sure.
Now, talk to me about these weird television commercials and where you're finding them.
The internet. Yeah, it's just sort of, I've, you know, randomly been stumbling across all of these like foreign horse commercials that, you know, maybe aired a couple times, and then we never, you know, there's all these random horse commercials floating around, untethered, in the internet land, and so I thought, I'm going to start running these things down and posting them one by one, day after day, so that they're all in one place.
The one we're talking about is two chicks. I think you said this is in French. I'm watching it right now, but I can't hear it. They are going to a water Zumba class, and they all put on helmets, and they all have tiny ponies with snorkeling gear. So what is that? It's a Toyota commercial?
It is apparently a Toyota commercial. Maybe it would make more sense if I spoke French at all, but yeah, it's just, this is one example of a commercial that just does not make, has, it involves horses selling some product, doesn't make any sense, and there are just like dozens and dozens of these out there, so yeah.
Okay, now I have to send this off to our friends in Canada who speak French and find out what the heck it says.
Yeah, seriously.
You
need to know. It's probably different French. It's not Canadian French, Glenn, so it's probably too different for them to understand. Now, the final story that you posted, which I saw this, and I saw some follow-up video because people thought it was fake, and this chick posted a video of her father removing it. And this is the most terrifying thing I think I've ever seen. Of course, I'm talking about the snakes underneath the saddle.
Ugh.
A Western saddle, what do they call the cantle? Is it a cantle, like the cantle of the saddle in between the cantle and the skirt, where you would, you know, grab the horn back of the seat to lift it up to throw it on. Well, in between the skirt and the back of the seat, oh, dear God, there's a snake. And he is piled in there, and he is hiding, and it is awful. And they put the saddle on the horse, and there's a snake in there.
There's two snakes.
Two
in there. Yeah. 2 5-foot-long snakes.
Okay, now I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question. Before you go on, do you think this was a setup? Because, look, by the time you put how long do you have to let your horse sit there with the saddle on for the snakes to crawl up in there? And if you didn't notice when you were putting the saddle on, you had your hand right at the snakes at the back of the saddle?
But you know how Western riders throw saddles on. You know, you grab the front and you kind of, whatever, grab the back. But those snakes are snuggled up in there tight. I mean, it looks like the perfect little snaky nap spot.
Ugh.
I can see how you
wouldn't
notice it.
I'm not a friend of snakes anyway. Jennifer doesn't mind, and I'm, like, freaked out. It would totally freak me out if I picked up a saddle and there was a snake right there. I'd be dropping everything and running and saying, okay, your horse, you're on your own. Deal with it yourself. I'd be gone.
But, guys, I have worse news for you than a snake and a saddle.
No.
Did we ever determine what kind of snakes they were, by the way?
I think they're, like, harmless, you know, like rat snakes or whatever. They weren't like, you know, the bunny. They're like the good kind you have around the barn that eat your mice.
Yeah, they ain't no mice in the back of my saddle. Don't need to be there.
Okay, guys, this bit of news just came out yesterday, and I think, okay, so there's this woman in Spain, and she sits down on her toilet.
Oh, don't tell me the toilet story. Oh.
I know, there's no place safe for our buttocks in this world. She sits down on the toilet, like, here's a little splashing around, and the next thing she knows she's gotten bit on her bum. She stands up, whirls around, and sees a green and yellow snake, like, scuttling, you know, back down the toilet hole.
Oh.
Yes. She had to go to the hospital.
Oh, my God. Was she just in the normal toilet, or was she on the airplane? Because I think that happened in Snakes on the Plane, where the snake jumped up and bit the guy on the wiener.
Yeah. So good.
I thought it was bad here in Florida. We live in Florida, so we have the big beetles that come in the house and then the occasional big spiders. So when you go to the bathroom and you go to the toilet, you have to check behind the toilet seat. That's, you know, you always look in all parts before you sit down. I thought that was bad. There ain't nothing compared to a snake down there. Oh, God.
Snake down there. Yeah.
I would move out of the human race. There is no place I could move that would be far enough away from that.
Yeah, apparently this woman's neighbors have been freaking out, and they're pouring, caustic soda down the sink to, you know, like, try and – because that snake is still out there. Like, that's the scary thing.
How about some form of acid? And let's not worry about the pipe.
That's terrible.
We're all done now. Then what else do you say after that? Thanks for ruining our weeks, Leslie.
This is bad news for mankind. There's no place safe for us behind.
I'll never go to the bathroom again.
You can't sit in the saddle. Okay. You can't sit on the toilet.
My husband just walked in. I'm gonna show him the snake picture. Can you imagine packing up your horse?
And not having noticed that.
That's 2 5-foot-long snakes. He has a Western saddle. That's why I thought it was important to show him. Because out here, we don't have friendly snakes. We have diamondback rattlers. And babies.
We try and keep the two separated.
Yes, please, dear God.
Yes.
Well,
Leslie,
that
was fun.
You've given me creepy crawlies today. Thank you very much.
Anytime.
Good time.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Leslie.
You just never know what's going to show up on the internet. You just never know.
Yeah, never know. You never know. HorseNation.com is where you go see all these weird, crazy things. And I'm currently watching the sugar commercial that was filmed at the Spanish Riding School. You need to go see these. It's HorseNation.com. Leslie, thank you so much. I hope you had a great time at May Day. Hey, did you win? Did you finish?
I did not win.
Did you finish?
Oh, you know how I roll.
And on that, we'll say goodbye, Leslie.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
See, I think Leslie's tortured, so she wants to torture us in return. See, she's a tortured soul. I think that's really what it is. She sounds
is
all happy.
So creepy. Yeah.
All right. Well, I do have an announcement for tomorrow. We have a couple of the news stories, too, that we wanted to get to today, but I have an announcement for tomorrow's equitymfg.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. Lisa Marie Kelly, we have a TV star on with us. Lisa Marie Kelly of Ice Road Truckers is joining us tomorrow. She'll be here, and she's getting up really early because she lives in Alaska, so it's going to be even earlier than you, and she agreed to come on and do it. I don't know if she's driving night shift or what she's doing up there, but she's going to come on, and she is a horse girl. She has several horses up there. She drives and rides and does all kinds of stuff, and she'll be coming on to join us. So Lisa Marie Kelly from Ice Road Truckers tomorrow morning.
I
well, there
can't
was
wait.
A guy. Yeah.
I said, I can't wait.
Okay, good. Well, also, there was a guy down at Gulfstream Park here in Florida, which is down near Miami, who has been playing the, do you know what the Big Six, or they call it the Rainbow Six? They call it the Rainbow Six, but it's the Big Six, it's called in some tracks. It's you have to get all three of the horses in all six races in a row. Isn't that how it works?
I don't know. I've only known the pick six, which is you have to pick the winner in six races. I don't know what that one is.
This one is even, I think, more elaborate than that, in that you have to get all three winners in, like, all six races, which is almost impossible, which is why the jackpot that he won yesterday was nearly $7 million. He won $6.678 million. This guy, probably over his lifetime, though, he says, I've probably been one of the biggest horse bettors in the country over the last 15 years. If you work at something long enough, you eventually get it right, which means he's probably spent $6.7 million trying to win a big one. Well, he won the big one.
He did. That's crazy. We just had that story last week of the guy who came so close. He was he lost like $4 million by a nose.
Now, I will say this, though, Jamie. He doesn't bet like you and I do and bet $2 to win this. He actually spent on his tickets $15,206.
Good God. You must know something.
So that's why I'm saying probably over his lifetime of betting, he has blown $6.6 million, and he's just going to be even now.
Wouldn't you like
blown
to have
all that magic jack money? That's what he's doing.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
Wouldn't you like to have $6.6 million to blow?
I know. That'd be nice. It would be nice.
Crazy.
The next largest one like that was $3.5 million, so he doubled. Yep. So, and all systems are go for California Chrome. He's apparently jogging well and looking good. The assistant trainer, Alan Sherman, who is the son of the older Sherman, is the one that's doing the training with him now at Belmont, and said he thinks he's doing really well. He said, I think two or three days before the race, I'll start getting anxious. But he's training fine. And he added some pounds, apparently, since the Preakness. His girth needed another hole, so they had to go up a hole, or down a hole, actually. So now everybody's just biding time and hoping like crazy that he stays sound, knock on something, till the Preakness. Because isn't that what happened with the last one that we had that was had a shot, I'll have another? Was just had to be pulled. Yeah, had to be pulled a week before.
Yeah, 2 days out, I think, too. Hey, how tall is 63 centimeters? Chad? 63
I have
no centimeters.
Idea. Do a conversion here.
Two-thirds of a meter. That doesn't help me. I need it in feet. So about 2 feet.
Like a true pilot.
I know, right? Two-thirds of a nanometer, whatever that means. There was a pony.
24.8 inches.
God, he's good. He said 2 feet. That's crazy. All right, so 2 feet tall, the world's smallest pony. Okay, the world's smallest pony, and he did shows. His name was Charlie, 63 centimeters tall, or 2 feet tall. And he was in Umbria, Italy, and he was... He does shows. He's famous. Well, he was turned out to pasture, and somebody stole Charlie. He was resting before a horse show. They cut into the pony enclosure and stole Charlie, 2 feet tall pony, out of the gate. Well, after a desperate plea for help by the owner, Bartolo Messina, it attracted international attention, and Charlie has been brought home almost 200 miles from where he was stolen. Can you imagine stealing a horse and it goes international, like international CNN was talking about this pony that was stolen, and he has now been returned home, and those guys are in jail. They have been arrested.
Yay.
Do you think that, what's our website where they do Stolen Horse International? You think they put that on there?
I don't know. Do they do that for Italy? I don't know if they work overseas.
I don't know. Is that international? I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, and also I have good news for you, too, on the Stolen Horse front. You remember the name Wendy Cox? Do you remember her daughter, J.C. Cox? Well,
J.C.
Ray. J.C. Ray. Well, they were the ones involved in the Southern Arkansas University where they stole the horses and then they killed one of them, and it was that whole thing that we've talked about numerous times here on the show. Well, if you remember right, they were all convicted and sentenced to jail, and the mother, Wendy Cox, was convicted and sent to jail for 60 years for her involvement in the thefts and everything. Well, it came up to appeal in Arkansas Court of Appeals, and she appealed it, and she said that she argued that there wasn't enough evidence presented by the jury linking her to the crimes, which was inconsistent or provided by individuals with motives to lie. In other words, all of the testimony was crap, that they were setting her up and blah, blah, blah. Well, the judge said that it's the job of the jury to determine exactly what goes on and what is credible or not credible. So I am throwing your appeal out and you will serve your time. So that was
good.
I don't know if any of the others are on appeal. She will be eligible for parole in 10 years, but she can do up to 60 years.
Well, and I guess, too, that they were trying to say, she was trying to say that, but he was lying. She didn't have anything to do with it, except for the witnesses testified that she planned the thefts, gave a map of the stables to the guys that stole the horses, provided the use of her truck, assisted them in hiding the trailer at her aunt and uncle's home, directed one of the guys to kill one of the horses and hide the remaining four, and secured a place for them to hide after they tied the horses to trees. So it was like, just ironically, your daughter was involved. It was your truck, and then, like, there was a map drawn in your handwriting, and there just happened to be the people hiding at your aunt and uncle. Like, it was just too many random things. Like, okay, no, you're guilty. And that's what they said. And so you're going to jail for a very long time. You're a horrible person.
So thankfully, and I don't think there's any more appeals for that one. I think that case is pretty much done now. Probably be the last time that we have to talk about J.C. Ray. Let's hope.
Well, this is her mama's case. We still haven't, I mean, I know she was found guilty, but I'm sure she'll have some appeals we get to report on.
So it's not done? We're going to have more?
I'm sure we'll have more. Just won't end.
Well, that's it for the news today. Let's call it a day. Sounds like you want to get back to your baby and your husband, who's now home after all of this time away, and enjoy your day. Maybe he'll let you go ride some horses again today, and you can work out those kinks.
I don't think I can. It's like when you get back to the gym, and you go back to the gym, and you're like, oh, I'm going to crush it. And then, like, you can't work out for another week because you're so sore. Like, I couldn't sleep last night. My arms and shoulder, my inner thighs, and oh, my God. You know what's a really sexy muscle to have, horse chicks? Inner thigh muscles, really large inner thigh muscles. It just doesn't get any hotter than that. Yeah.
You were not sleeping because of pain, and I was not sleeping because I was dreaming about moving things. It was my mind.
With your mind.
I was in X-Men world.
I got to figure out what my superhero power would be. We know now that you just want to be lazy and sit around and do nothing and let your mind clean the stalls. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I can't think of anything better for a horse husband. That's it, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to get our app, iOS or Android. Just go to the App Store and look for Horse Radio Network. You can listen to all the shows there. It's free. It's easy. It's simple to use. And we'll be back here at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning with
HackWithTheMSC.com
Celebrity Trivia.
Spay, neuter, geld.
And wear your helmets. Be safe, everybody.
Yes, please.